Turbulent times call for clear-headed insight. That's hard to come by these days, especially on TV. That's where we come in. Salem News Channel has the greatest collection of conservative minds all in one place. People you know and trust, like Dennis Prager, Eric Metaxas, Charlie Kirk, and more. Unfiltered, unapologetic truth. Find what you're searching for at snc.tv and on Local Now, Channel 525.
Hey, everybody. Today on the Charlie Kirk Show, Rana has got to go. Vivek Ramaswamy joins the program to speak about it and how we get it done. Email us, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Get involved with Turning Point USA at tpusa.com. That is tpusa.com. Start a high school or college chapter today at tpusa.com. Become a member at charliekirk.com and click on the Members tab to listen to all of our content advertiser-free, including getting other giveaways and goodies. Email us, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by the loan experts I trust, Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage at andrewandtodd.com. One of the reasons why the grassroots is losing patience, is roaring currently, is that we do not have an opposition party. We know the consensus. The consensus is open borders, deficit spending, trillions of dollars that we do not have, endless wars, invade the world, invite the world, socially liberal tilt, globalism, the recreation of a kind of globalist empire, the deterioration of the American dollar. That is the status quo. The American people, of all sorts of different backgrounds, Hispanics, blacks, white working class, moms, dads, you name it, retirees, baby boomers, enlightened millennials, people that are trying to earn a buck, are demanding, they are asking for an opposition, for people to go to D.C. and to do things differently. We're lectured all the time about democracy dying in darkness. We don't have democracy. We're not a democracy. We are a republic, but the form of government we have is basically two parties of the Republicrats and the Demokins. They're basically the same. Keep the borders open. Millions of people come into the country. We don't talk about it. We don't cut spending. Ukraine gets as much money as possible. We remake the world, and we'll debate about corporate tax cuts and regulatory reform, but the big stuff is untouchable. The American grassroots are losing patience. You cannot have a political party that live action role plays, LARPs, as an opposition party and expect that party to continue to exist. We have been one of the leaders, if not the leading program, that has been doing the drumbeat saying that if we're serious about winning in 2024, the leader of the Republican Party must represent their voters. It's nothing personal. There's no sort of vengeance that we're trying to score here, but we isolated a problem in November of last year. Disappointing midterm election results. We saw the underwhelming performance of get out the vote, messaging creation, bringing the tribes together from the Republican National Committee. Now, leading into the midterms, I decided to say, you know what? Let's give the RNC one last chance. They disappointed us in 18, they disappointed us in 20, and they disappointed us again in 2022. And I said, enough. And Tyler Boyer, who comes on the show, committeeman for Arizona, Harmeet Dhillon, committeeman for California, and many others said, we need regime change at the RNC. And we were very polite, and then Ronna McRomney came after us at Turning Point, saying, what do they even do? What does Turning Point even do? I said, you've now picked a fight with us? Good luck. So we went down to Dana Point, California. We went down to the front lines at the RNC meeting, and I'll be very honest, very few conservative media types were willing to engage in the fight against the RNC. They still want advertising dollars from the RNC. They want to be on good terms. You could see Ronna McRomney doing the media circuit recently with some of your conservative hosts, getting warm and favorable treatment. We want to win. We're sick of losing. So I went down to Dana Point, California at the plush five-star hotel, and we pressed the flesh, spoke to the RNC members. We were unsuccessful. Harmeet Dhillon did not become RNC chair. Ronna did. And Ronna, instead of trying to heal the movement, bring all these people together, try to say, let's let bygones be bygones, continued with a bitter DC-centric war against the grassroots. Now, many of the members of the 168 that voted for Ronna are now gone. We've been involved in getting rid of them, state by state, precinct by precinct, state party chair by state party chair. Nothing personal here. We want to win. We're sick of losing. And so now, last week, we saw yet another chapter in RNC losing form. We didn't win Kentucky in the governor's race. We didn't win Virginia. We got slaughtered in Ohio. So we ask ourselves the question, when have you ever won? Ronna McRomney has a 99.9% disapproval rate amongst Republican voters and conservative grassroots. Typically, the RNC is not really talked about. It's kind of like it's like an afterthought. And honestly, it should be. It shouldn't be something that we focus this much attention on. It should just do the boring, necessary work, raise money, hire staffers, get the work done, kind of in operating in the background, and we could focus on other stuff. Instead, it has become a primary concern because they raise hundreds of millions of dollars. They are the party itself, and we need an energetic leader. Someone who's able to excite the grassroots, win the trust over of the worker bees of the party, raise the capital from donors, and win. It is unsustainable to have a political party that, one, is not in opposition of the regime and pretends to be, and then, number two, tells you that you're wrong and misguided if you think that something is amiss. This is the stuff that political revolutions are made of. You cannot look to the masses and say, you guys are a bunch of idiots. You guys are wrong. Everything's great. I'll defend my record. Ronna has been on defense. By the way, Ronna broke several sacred RNC rules. She attacked a current RNC presidential candidate. You're not allowed to do that. She doesn't care. She also said that he's not going to get a cent from us. Not allowed to do that. Not only is she ineffective, not only is she a loser, she is breaking RNC rules. That alone should disqualify her. But here she goes on CNN bragging about her track record. She says, I'll defend my record. It makes you think, does she think losing is the goal? Play cut four.
If you look at what Republicans have dealt with over the last few years, are Republicans right to be frustrated? I understand being frustrated. Of course, we want to win. And I look at the RNC, though, and I'm proud of what we're doing. I mean, we're a turnout machine. We don't do the messaging the candidates do with their pollsters and their campaigns. The RNC builds the road. All the candidates drive on it. You need a good candidate and a good road to get to your destination. And the things we're doing right now with our Bank Your Vote initiative and with 70 lawsuits that we're in. We just won one in New Hampshire that upholds voter ID on top of our engagement with minority communities. I'm really proud of what the RNC does.
The RNC builds the road. In South Bend, Indiana, when Mayor Pete was there, they had better roads than the RNC has built. The RNC builds the road. It's like a third world country. By the way, it's never responsibility. Never, ever taking responsibility. Never that says, you know what? Yeah, we've been losing a lot. Oh, no, it's the candidate's fault. Oh, we don't do messaging. If we don't do messaging, then why is it in the next segment we're going to play that you're talking about messaging? No, there's no, they don't. Why do you have a DC building, by the way, Ronna? Like $50 million. Why don't you sell that? How many full-time staff do you have in Arizona? Why do we have to have more staff than you do at Turning Point Action? It really makes you think and speculate, does she want to lose? Her uncle does. Mitt Romney. Her uncle does not want the MAGA movement to continue. I am now at the point where I actively am speculating. Does she think the Republican Party being out of power is what success looks like? I want to talk about ReliefFactor.com. I want you guys to check out ReliefFactor.com. 100% drug-free, knee pain, back pain, joint pain, elbow pain. Check out Relief Factor Energy. Help makes your body make nutrients readily available. Relief Factor Sleep. I know a lot of you are probably having trouble sleeping. Relief Factor Sleep could be the best solution for you. Everybody goes to bed. Not everybody sleeps. We're all about helping people live lives that are filled with connection, exploration, passion, and emotion. That is what life is all about. Make sure you guys are sleeping well. It's a major part of life. Check it out right now. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. So where does she go to explain her record? Does she go, at the very least, to Fox News Sunday, or does she go on Bannon? Does she go to any sort of right-wing media? She is the head of the RNC. No, she goes to CNN and NBC, and this should tell you the whole ballgame. If we could get the question CNN asked, which actually was okay by Dana Bash, but it was like kid gloves, because CNN and NBC, they're all in on it. They want access to the quote-unquote RNC, and they're Ron and Mitt Romney, they're all buddies. Do you want a chair of the RNC that is buddies with Kristen Welker? No, I want a chair of the RNC that is constantly at war with Kristen Welker. I want a chair of the RNC that understands the media is a core pillar of Operation Mockingbird, the Trusted News Initiative. The head of the RNC is playing patty cake with NBC News. This is a short tape here, but it's 7 seconds that tells you the whole ballgame. This is how DC works. It's how the RNC works. And yes, we can change it. I'm going to show you how we can change it. Kristen Welker, NBC News. It's like the Mutual Admiration Society. Honestly, if those interviews are ending this warmly, you got a big problem. I mean, you can have respect for all people, but you think that Donald Trump shows up to NBC News? They literally got in an argument back and forth. So listen to this. And by the way, what does meeting the moment, what? If you're a saboteur, then maybe you met the moment. Listen to this. Rana and Meet the Press, Kristen Welker. She doesn't go to conservative media to explain her record. She runs to the most radical left-wing press to defend the indefensible because the media loves it. They know she's a loser. They want her to stay there. They would hate to have Scott Pressler get a phone call back. They want business as usual. They want a polite, orderly, obedient, controlled opposition. Listen to this short tape. Play cut 5.
Thank you so much for having us. It was an honor to co-moderate that debate. We really appreciate it.
Thank you for being part of that, because this is a time where we met the moment.
Welker says it was an honor. And Rana says, thanks for being part of it. This is a moment where we met the moment. What does that mean? Where we met the moment? So she did MSNBC and CNN after a disaster of an interview with my friend and great American patriot, Laura Ingraham. So Laura Ingraham basically was like, I hate losing. What's going on here? And Rana did poorly. She gets a softball interview, of course, from CNN and MSNBC. But Laura Ingraham brings the fastball because Laura Ingraham's a patriot and she cares. This was CNN's question. It's an okay question, but on a CNN Republican interview, this is softball. Play cut 11.
Personal attacks against you aside, if you look at what Republicans have dealt with over the last few years, Republicans lost the White House in 2020, did not win the Senate back in 2022. The House has a Republican majority, but it's so narrow they can barely govern. And on Tuesday, on the state level, Republicans lost big in Virginia and in Kentucky. Are Republicans right to be frustrated?
And her answer, I think we played part of her answer previously, but she says, yeah, I get frustration, but first, just so you understand, this is the fraud. She takes responsibility for nothing and credit for everything. So she says, well, I'm not responsible for messaging. I'm not, why blacks are coming our way, it's all because of me. She takes full credit for Hispanics and blacks moving in the Republican direction. Nothing to do with Moms for Liberty or Donald Trump or a MAGA America First message, or honestly, just a response to the trans stuff. So nothing is her fault. Nothing. No. It's all the candidates. But hey, you know, blacks and Hispanics are coming. They're coming our way because of me. And by the way, donors are not putting up with this. I can't tell you the amount of rich, patriotic donors that are like, we're done. This is a joke. We're finding other places to put our money. We're going to get the Laura Ingraham interview. She runs the CNN and NBC for a comfortable softball interview. We can change it. I'm going to tell you how. Hey, everybody. Charlie Kirk here. I want to tell you about the Legacy Box sale of the year. You send in all of your stuff to Legacy Box, and you can get it as low as $9 a tape. Do you have old film reels, stuff that just seems to be aging? Well, digitize those memories today. We have used Legacy Box, and we love it. Trusted by over 1 million families, including ours, Legacy Box is simple, affordable, and safe. Starting now, our listeners get early access to the best sale of the year. You can digitize your tapes for as low as $9 a tape. Go to legacybox.com/Kirk to get early access to Black Friday sales and start digitizing your memories today. Go to legacybox.com/Kirk. Think of all the Christmas mornings you recorded and make sure you digitize them before something happens. A Legacy Box digitizes over 15 different types of analog media, whether it's VHS tape, Super 8mm film reels, or more. Legacybox.com/Kirk. $9 a tape, 60% off. Legacybox.com/Kirk. Joining us now is the man who moved the conversation forward significantly and is being attacked by the current RNC chair, Vivek Ramaswamy. Vivek, welcome to the program. Talk about last week at the debate. You did a wonderful job, and you called for the resignation of Ronna McRomney live at an RNC debate and called out NBC News. Vivek, tell us all about it.
Look, I wanted to be unconstrained, and I'm going to be unconstrained for the rest of this campaign, Charlie. I don't do well stifled by the standard political norms. So I've called out the Democratic National Committee's corruption for a long time. At the debate, I said Biden needs to step aside. It's a farce that he's going to be the nominee, so just call the farce now. But I can't just call the Democrats out without calling everybody out 360 degrees. Kristen Welker, sitting there spewing the Russia collusion hoax for years, has not once had to answer for it. I put her on the spot. I said, tell us, was it Hillary Clinton disinformation or not? You should have seen the look on her face, or you probably did. I mean, it was revealing. It answered the question. But then you go upstream, and who are the people who hired these clowns to be the moderators of a Republican debate, asking questions that no GOP primary voter would care to ask? It's none other than the same RNC that has lost in 2018, 2020, 2022, 2023. Since Ronna McDaniel took over, literally that's 4 for 4 losses. We talk a big game in the Republican Party about accountability in government, but where's the accountability in our own party? And so I told Ronna, and I would have kept my word, and I'll keep my word at the next debate. If she wants my time, I'll give it to her. She can get on the stage, use my microphone, look the GOP voters in the eye, and tell them she resigns. Now, she didn't like that I said that. Apparently, there's press reports afterwards that she's sitting there booing me later in the debate. How hilarious is that? The chair of the RNC saying that they're not going to give me another cent, pretending like it's her own money. It kind of reminds me of, you know, if you have like a squatter in a rent-controlled apartment, they are squatting for so long, they start to think they own the place. That's kind of what Ronna McDaniel reminds me of. It's not her money to give away, but she thinks it is and acts accordingly. She needs to get the heck out. Drew McKissick, he's the interim chair. He's the co-chair. He only took that role earlier this year. Seems like he had a good track record in South Carolina. He could take it on an interim basis until the January meeting, where you start with a clean slate. And we ask, who's actually a radical question for the Republican Party? Who would have ever thought? Who's the best person for the job? I know that we preach a big game about meritocracy, and I'm against affirmative action and the rest of it, but how can you talk in our own party about meritocracy when you say this is the person who is the best person for this job? Of course she's not. So let's practice what we preach.
Yeah, it kind of almost screams as nepotism, too. Like, why is Romney's niece running the RNC? It's kind of strange. Let's play Cut 19. This is your interview with the great Patrick Bet-David. He's really special. Play Cut 19.
And so I say on stage that Ronna McDaniel, if she wanted to come up on stage, and I meant it, if she did want to come up on stage, you know, debate stage time is valuable, but I would still yield my time to her if she wants to use the microphone, look the American people in the eye, and say she resigns, which would be good for the Republican Party, and I believe she should resign. So what does she say? So then the press reports there's people apparently sitting in her row or behind her row in front of her where she is. Think about this, the neutral arbiter of the Republican National Committee later in the debate when I'm sparring with other candidates, booing when I'm speaking, clapping against other candidates when they're speaking against me.
And also, I mean, Vivek, this is against RNC rules. And then she has publicly attacked you saying, oh, he's at 4%. Yeah. All he needs is a headline. Vivek, the RNC chair is not allowed to actively attack candidates, right?
I mean, it's there's a lot of things they're not allowed to do. Her salary is also tripled for the last three over the course of her tenure as she delivers these failures, much more money for herself and lining her pocketbook. She actually went on national television the day after the debate or 2 days after the debate. She listed Vivek voted for Obama. That's dead false. Never voted for Obama in my life. But it's not that my feelings are hurt by this. I can handle it, right? I mean, you're in politics. You can't handle the heat. Stay out of the kitchen. It's just the shamefulness that this is the person leading the supposedly neutral RNC. And so I just think we need a clean house. I mean, it's easy to sit there and point at the Democrats, and there's plenty to point at that we all don't love, and that's great. But we have to look ourselves in the mirror and ask ourselves, what the heck are we doing as a party? The worst ideas we're pursuing right now in Washington, D.C. are the bipartisan ones. Forking over hundreds of billions more to somebody else's country so a Ukrainian kleptocrat can buy a bigger house. Well, guess what? Donors are forking over a bunch of money so Ronna McDaniel can buy a bigger house, or Nikki Haley can do the same thing as a military contractor. So I think there's a lot more introspection due in the Republican Party than we actually sometimes paper over. And I'm not one of these people to say that, hey, just channel your energy and focus on the other party. I care about this country, actually. And if we care about this country, yeah, we're going to have to be able to point it out 360 degrees. And there's a lot of rot. I mean, the swamp lives in the Republican Party almost every bit as much as the Democrat Party. And so we got to clean that up if we have a chance of saving this country.
Yeah. And let's build this out even further, Vivek. I love that quote, by the way, that the worst ideas in D.C. are the bipartisan ones. The muscle memory they want us to be in, because, you know, some of the Ronna defenders, there's only like three or four of them that are obviously paid on Twitter. They say, why don't you spend all this time attacking Democrats? Well, we are attacking Democrats. We have one that is acting like a Democrat running the RNC. Vivek, she says that she will defend her track record as RNC chair. She says, I'll defend it in front of anybody. Vivek, you've made hundreds of millions of dollars. You're a successful entrepreneur. I think you should keep owning that and be proud of that. It's the American story. In business, if somebody had the track record of Ronna, how would you deal with that person?
Get out. Get the heck out. And instead, in this sport, what do they get? A 3X salary yep. increase over the course of that time. And so, look, I just think that more Republicans need to step up, have her step aside. I think that she needs to come to that conclusion on her own. I think if Donald Trump said so, I'm sure that that would also help the conversation. But I want to do my part on that stage. And I think the Republican Party needs to clean house ahead of next year, because then you're going to get in the middle of the election cycle and the general election, and then there's going to be reluctance to do it then. And then if you have failure number one, number two, number three, number four, guess what? Number five will then be coming up. And I don't want to see that happen. And so, yeah, we got to have accountability. This would never work or fly in the private sector. Somebody would have been fired long before, at least when we had actually true capitalism in this country, though that's been captured too. That's a story for another day, Charlie, is the swamp is infecting much of corporate America too. So the modern version of corporate America starts to look a lot like this corruption, but the older version of true American capitalism, yeah, we have accountability. Well, that's what we need in the Republican Party, too.
So your beef with Ronna didn't start last Wednesday. Tell us about your interactions with Ronna that morning after the Tuesday election losses.
Oh, it was interesting. Yeah. I mean, it goes back to the start of this campaign. I said, release the debate rules. This is like at the start of the campaign. She refused to do it. And I said, you better darn well release the debate rules by this deadline. And I think my advocacy for it at least caused them to release it earlier than they would have. She intervenes when I'm going to have a sparring session. You know, Fox asked me to do a sparring session with Chris Christie. I said, fine, I'll bury him and his arguments in the ground. But then she calls me the night before saying that I would be eliminated from the later debates if we did it. So my issues with Rana date back a while, but regardless, the day of the debate, you do this walkthrough, right? So they said do the sound checks and everything else. She comes up and she's like, going to give me a hug. I said, I'll shake your hand, but this is not in a celebratory mood, Rana. Look what happened last night. Keep in mind, this was literally the morning after Republicans just got trounced across the country. And I'm not even kidding you, Charlie, you can't make this up. This is exactly what she said. And there are multiple people around there. No one's going to deny this. She said, what happened last night? And I was just like, I was like, oh, I thought she was just like being sarcastic and joking. I was just like, yeah, well, obviously what happened last night? She's like, no, what happened last night? What? I don't know what happened last night. What happened last night? What are you saying happened last night? Like, it was almost aggressive. Like, what are you referring to last night? So I say, well, we got our butts handed to us in a bunch of elections, in case you weren't paying attention. She's like, yeah, but I have nothing to do with that. Those are state elections. I'm operating at the federal level. You know that. You should know that. I had nothing to do with it. And I refuse to take the fall for this. It was directly to my face. It was kind of like a heated interaction. We were literally on the debate stage in front of the podiums and the microphones. And it was ridiculous. I mean, it was the fact that this was her concern, as opposed to saying, how are we going to step back and take our learnings and lessons and improve? What the heck are we going to do to make sure this doesn't happen again in 2024? We've got an incredibly unpopular U.S. president in Joe Biden. Most Democrats, many independents are furious at him, let alone the Republican base. And yet you have a party apparatus that has not been able to channel that into success in an off-year cycle where Republicans actually do better in odd number year elections because Democrats are not as engaged as Republicans in those odd number years. Where's the introspection as opposed to just the self-defense? And so, you know, I think that there are probably stages of this campaign earlier, Charlie, where honestly I was probably playing a little bit too nice. I'm a pretty unrestrained person, but if you're coming in as a newcomer, keep an open mind and see if these people are really maybe not as bad as you would assume the cesspool of politics is. It's the opposite. It's far worse than I ever imagined. And so for the rest of this race, I'm going to be gloves off, unconstrained. And in the near term, I think we can actually achieve something. I think Rana should step aside. I would applaud her if she does. Bury the hatchet for the past. I'll give her credit at least for assuming accountability. Yep. Clean slate. There's a good interim co-chair who could take over. Who's her co-chair? Move this forward.
Vivek continues thus, Vivek Ramaswamy. So Vivek, tell us the truth about RNC getting involved in state races in Kentucky. Tell us about this.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's just what I think is this is a moment to now have real introspection. Ask, do we actually have the best person in charge, or is this going to just be another corrupt racket? So I'm not going to, out of respect for the person, I'm not going to share with you the name of the person at their request, but somebody sees me calling out Rana on her nonsense. Here's basically just the text. The good person asked me not to say who it was. After reading the article where Rana McDaniel stated, quote, the RNC was not involved in Tuesday's races. Well, we know that Rana and the RNC played big in the Kentucky race. McConnell called her directly and basically demanded money to that whole race. Makes us sick to think the level, and this goes into how this particular person was a donor to the RNC and is sick of actually why they did it. So this is just examples of the text messages that I'm getting even from people who are sick and tired of being donors to the RNC. The RNC is saying they're going to do one thing, actually do another, saying we weren't involved in the state races. Telling Virginia, now you saw the reports coming from the state of Virginia and the Republican Party, somehow saying that they wouldn't have wanted the RNC helping them flip Virginia. It's ridiculous. It's malpractice. And then now claiming they weren't involved in state races. Now we're getting information from sources saying that absolutely they were playing in Kentucky at McConnell's behest. And so, you know, Charlie, I think that comes back to, I don't want to wait. And I'm not saying this to boast because it's really not about me. It's about the country. But the lesson here is I don't want to wait until I'm elected to be able to drive positive change in this country. We do it philanthropically. We wrote a check to be able to charter flight for getting Americans out of harm's way in Israel. We try to, whenever I see something along the way that we're able to drive positive change now, I want to do it now and not wait for later. Here's what I want to do now. I want to see this through and make sure Rana McDaniel is out from the RNC. That is strictly good no matter who's the nominee, no matter what happens next year. That itself is a public service now. Once she's out, I have my sights set on who would come after her. You know, I think McConnell should not be leading here in the Republican Party in the Senate either, but we'll do one at a time. I think that Ronna McDaniel needs to step out of the way. That's going to put us in a good position heading into next year. And I think that that's something we can get done in the meantime. We don't have to wait till November 2024 for that. We need to get that done now so that we actually win in November 2024.
Yeah, and if we don't have a change in leadership, we're going to be so significantly disadvantaged. I mean, enough losing. It is a pattern of losing time and time and time again. Here's just a piece of tape here. So she tells you when she tried to give you a hug, oh, we don't get involved in the state races. But in here she says, oh, I wasn't needed. So you're trying to tell me in politics people say no to money? That's first. I've never heard that before. Play cut 21.
I just want to clarify one quick thing, though. The RNC had no involvement in these elections in Virginia per Governor Youngkin's request.
We were told in the summer they didn't need us, that they had all the money and they were good. So that was the conversation.
Thanks for your time.
Thank you.
We'll be following up on that to find out what's that all about. That's the first time I've heard that.
Whoever says no to money in any given situation, Vivek.
Yeah, I mean, Virginia's folks also from the Republican Party have, you know, publicly elsewhere, TV and elsewhere, have said that that obviously doesn't make sense. And actually that they had said no such thing. They would have loved to have greater federal money playing. But put all this to one side, Charlie. In a certain sense, if you have the wrong person on top, you can't just steer them to then do the right thing. And, you know, fool me once, shame on me. Fool me twice. Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. That's what we should be saying as the people who are stakeholders of the Republican Party. Harmeet Dillon, I think, did a good thing in trying to run. It was impossible for us to have, for her to, I think, have a fair shot while Ronna was still in that seat engineering it. I think we need to start with a clean slate. The January RNC meeting, it's like starts on January 30th. It's an important time. There's somebody in the interim role that could take over between now and then. Very practical. I think it'd be great if Trump and others in the party who have a real voice and a sway here help us to do the right thing. Then we set up, I think, a clean deck for what happens in 2024. And my view is, yeah, you don't have to wait to win the election to drive positive change. Do it as you see it. And I think Ronna getting out of the way would be good. Calling up the corrupt media, calling out the corrupt media at every step of the way to educate the public, to say that you shouldn't swallow what you're being force-fed today. You're being force-fed about Ukraine and how our money's being spent today. It was the Hunter Biden laptop story yesterday. We got to learn from the mistakes of the past and make sure that in real time, we're not just waiting till next November. We're starting now to make sure we save this country day by day.
Vivek Ramaswamy, excellent leadership here. I agree completely. We're going to be working together to get an actual leader, someone that listens to the grassroots, can raise money, and can win. Vivek, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much for listening. God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.
When I grow up, I want to work for a woke company, like super woke.
When I grow up,
I want to be hired based on what I look like
rather than my skills.
I want to be judged
by my political beliefs.
I want to get promoted
based on my chromosomes.
When I grow up,
I want to be offended
by my coworkers
and walk around the office
on eggshells
and have my words policed
by HR.
Words like
grandfather,
peanut gallery,
long time no see,
no can do.
When I grow up,
I want to be obsessed with emotional safety
and do workplace sensitivity training
all day long.
When I grow up, I want to climb the corporate ladder
just by following the crowd.
I want to be a conformist.
I want to weaponize my pronouns. What are pronouns?
It's time to grow up and get back to work. Introducing the number one woke-free job board in America, RedBalloon.work.